Welcome to Off Script with Dan Dwyer on Robin Hood Radio, featuring in-depth interviews with guests from the world of theater and allied arts. Underwriting support from Johnny Cake Books in Salisbury, Connecticut, whose collection of rare collectible and out-of-print books is housed in a 19th century cottage in one of the most old-fashioned small towns in New England. And now, here's the host of Off Script, Dan Dwyer.
Well, thank you, Marshall. So here's a proposition for our listeners in the Hudson Valley and where Robin Hood Radio spills. Take a pair of partnered New York theater professionals, part one. Part two, a unique artistic vision for quirky, people-driven theater, part two. And part three, an old, almost forgotten Grange Hall in Columbia County. What do you get? Put those three together, you get the Ancrum Opera House. My guests today are Jeff Musso and Paul Ricciardi, the founding partners and directors of Ancrum Opera House, right here in Ancrum. And in just 2 years, they have put together seasons that have, just to give you some ideas, the following kinds of shows. Family theater with actors in sheep clothing in an open meadow, a fearless one-man portrait of a graveyard shift jazz obsessed disc jockey, an equally fearless one-woman show about a singer confronting the deaths of loved ones, and a workshop, one-man performance by Taylor Mack, the MacArthur Fellow and the country's most provocative singer-performance artist, and an immersive, open-air, six-character play on the grounds of Olana, dramatizing the family backstory behind artist Frederick Church's creation of his Moorish Hudson Valley estate. And did I mention the one-woman play featuring a Mexican actress who tells a bilingual Hudson Valley ghost story? To talk about how they put this all together, Off Script welcomes Jeff Musso and Paul Ricciardi. Hey, Jeff. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Dan.
So you're Skyping in, just so the transparency and everybody listening knows, from Mexico City. Thank you for that. But I want to know, what brings you to Mexico City in the pursuit of theater beyond little old Ancrum?
You want to take that, Jeff?
This is Jeff. And so, yeah, we've been sort of coming back and forth to Mexico City now for the last several years. And in that process, we met this performer named Indira Pensada. Actually, the backstory behind that is that Paul met Indira when they were both doing the Kirsten Linklater designation process at Shakespeare and Company a few years ago. That's how we first met.
And Linklater is a vocal regime for actors,
that's
right?
Correct.
Right. Vocal regime. That's exactly. That's
right. Well, I'm trying to put it in. You know, not everybody. This is sort of not part of the problem with Off Script is we get sometimes into inside baseball. So I just dumb it down for me and
so
everybody
Kirsten
else.
Linklater is actually Paul should talk about that.
Yeah. So Kirsten Linklater, her approach, she's one of the foremost trainers of voice for actors in the world.
I'm going to interrupt, but just to make this gossip for local people, her son, Hamish, a very fine actor and playwright, is involved with Lily Rabe, daughter of David Rabe, and who grew up here in Lakeville. So there we go.
Yes.
Small world.
But
let's get back to Ancrum Opera House. So,
I worked with years ago. This is Jeff. I ran a theater company in Boston, and Hamish was a student at grade school. I guess maybe he was in high school at that point. He was in one of those productions. At any rate, Paul met Indira through the Linklater training regime, and as a result, I met her too, and we had been coming to Mexico City, so we looked her up, and we actually got to see her do a cabaret performance. It was then that it sort of keyed in for me that she would be really interesting for this piece, Aunt Leaf, which you just described a moment ago. Because in it, there are places where the language kind of disintegrates and it really does become about sounds and utterances. And because of her experience with Linklater, as well as another vocal technique process that was founded by a guy named Roy Hart, which is really all about sort of these sort of primal sounds that an actor can make with the voice. I became just really interested with Indira, with piece.
You're working with her in Mexico City this week?
This week we actually just sort of had like a follow-up meeting. I mean, honestly, we're about to go on a little vacation.
Good. Okay, so I do want to talk about the Aunt's Leaf, was it? Is that the name
Aunt
of the
Leaf, yeah.
The Aunt Leaf.
Yeah.
A little bit, because it's so, I think, emblematic of the kinds of artistic direction and the kinds of shows that you have at Ancrum Opera House. But before that, let me ask a really basic question. So both of you have really substantial careers individually in the theater. Jeff, you've been affiliated as a director with a lot of theater up and down Hudson Valley and in New York and the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts Fellow. Paul, you're currently teaching voice and acting at the City University of New York, in addition to having a deep background in acting yourself. So did either of you individually, or was it collectively, always have a dream to come up to the country and have your own theater?
Yeah, this is Paul. Jeff and I moved to the Hudson Valley in 2003. We bought a house in Hudson, and at the time we thought it was going to be sort of our creative weekend retreat. We were living and working full time in New York City. I was working as an actor, Jeff was working as a director, and life changed, and Hudson Valley became our full time home. And we did have a fantasy that maybe someday we would have some sort of, you know, creative home in Hudson. It never quite worked out. We just know they're just for various reasons. And then one day in 2014, we stumbled on a real estate listing for the Ancrum Opera House. We had been to the Opera House years before to see a show, and so we were aware of it. And when we saw that real estate listing, it was an immediate pull. Because it did remind us that, you know, having a small intimate space is important to both of us. You know, sort of big proscenium theater wasn't really our thing. Community is just as important to us as the creation of theater. And so this building sort of answered that for us. And so it, you know, sort of became an immediate pull. And the next thing we knew, we were owning this Grange Hall in Ancrum. But it does fit a lot of our creative needs in terms of intimacy of space, connection with the audience, a place to sort of convene with neighbors and friends. And so it was a dream we both had, and it's really come to fruition through this building.
So let me ask you about the division of labor. I mean, there are a lot of couples who have had really, really remarkable careers, usually in the composer lyricist frame, like Comden and Green. And then there are a lot of couples for whom the wife might be an artistic director, the husband might be the director. But for you as a couple, how do you divide the labor? I'm familiar with the fair. I've seen a lot of it this summer. And, you know, I don't want to typify Paul as the managing director, because he's director as much as Jeff, and I don't want to typify Jeff as the artistic director, because Paul, you strike me as artistic as him. And Paul, I've seen you be chief cook and bottle washer, parking cars out there when you have to. How do you sort of divide the labor?
Well, honestly, it's something we haven't completely figured out ourselves. I mean, right now, we have a lot of hands in the cookie jar, and we had several cooks cooking in the stew, whichever metaphor you want to kind of use. But we're sharing a lot of responsibilities together.
Yeah.
And so, we're actually now going, we're just now sort of entering into the mode where we're going to be putting and planning our next, you know, the summer season and fall. And that's something we're doing collectively. A lot of it, sort of the day-to-day stuff, sort of ends up sort of being based on our respective schedules.
Yeah.
And who's available to actually do the job that needs to get done at that given moment. We're still, that's definitely a work in progress. And I think one of the things that I think we're sort of both recognizing is that we just finished our second season, and it's been remarkable in many ways, and such a surprise that it's been, you know, the work has been so well received.
Right. In case you've just joined us, the program is Off Script. I'm your host, Dan Dwyer. The guests are Jeff Mousseau and Paul Ricciardi, directors of the Ancrum Opera House right here in Ancrum in Columbia County, Hudson Valley. So let's talk about the program. You mentioned community, and it's clear that Ancrum has really, Ingram Opera House, you guys have really developed, I think, a very distinctive audience because you've got such a distinctive artistic program. I characterized it as quirky. But it's a really competitive environment out there. You've got traditional theaters in big venues like Berkshire Stage, Barrington Stage, Williamstown. You've got traditional venues over in Hudson Valley like the McCadden for all the musical stuff they do. You don't, guys don't do any of that. You do, you've got a lot of volunteer and a lot of community theater around. I guess the question is, your audience is really distinctive and your program's really distinctive. Does your artistic program define your audience, or are you getting feedback from our audience, from your audience that directs the kinds of shows you put on?
Yeah, that's, you know, that's, it's a great question because it's I think that the Ingram Opera House is a bit of an anomaly in that way. I mean, at least half of our audience comes from within 10 miles of the Ingram Opera House. And then, you know, the other half
local.
Are coming from,
that's,
you know,
really
places.
Local. Yeah.
Yeah, so and people do travel, but it's a very local audience, and so we take this as a compliment. But sometimes, you know, you hear it, and you're like, oh, okay. A lot of people will say, "I had no idea this could exist in Ankrum." So when they're seeing Taylor Mack, you know, in the Ankrum Opera House, their heads kind of explode because they just had no idea that such a tiny little hamlet could, you know, provide this kind of art, this kind of performance. And so I guess my point is that, so the audience, I think a lot of our audience aren't necessarily sort of downtown theater goers. And someone at one point referred to the Ankrum Opera House as a sort of a mashup of Joe's Pub and PS 122. I don't know if I completely agree with that, but, you know, it's a lot of our audiences aren't coming because they've heard of Taylor Mack or the team or Maria Cristina Oliveras, but they're coming because we're doing something and they love the idea of theater in the country. And so I think that we have a lot of latitude in sort of the aesthetic, our aesthetic. I don't know if our audience necessarily shares that same aesthetic, but I do know that often they are impressed. Yep. And they're so grateful that, you know, there's this kind of theater happening in, you know, such a tiny little town.
Right. Well, it's a small theater. At maximum is what, 120, 125 seats or something like that?
Actually, we're really just at about 100.
Just about 100 seats. It's a decent sized stage, but most of the productions you do are either single performances or, you know, that you've got a small band on the stage and a performer. The thing that strikes me is that your selection of material, whether it's a performance piece or whether it's a play or a drama, is that they're really, really intimate, really, really people-driven, intimate little stories that befit, and that, that just plain fit in that space. So is the intimacy something that is always a given with what you select to put on the stage?
I mean, I think it, in many ways it is a given. I think that I mean, as Paul mentioned earlier, I mean, the scale of the space was very important to us, and it speaks to our interests as artists and that sort of level of connection, not only for the artist, not only from the audience, for the artist, but for the artist to feel the audience. So I think that reciprocal exchange is really critical to us. You know, that's not to say we wouldn't necessarily that's not to say we wouldn't necessarily think of a production that might be of a larger scale, that might kind of stretch us in that way. So, you know, I don't think there's nothing set in stone. I think we want to kind of keep ourselves fluid as much as we possibly can.
Right. So we might see a little musical in the future, but we're not going to see a 35 cast rendition of Hello, Dolly.
Yeah. Maybe a four person
group. Let's get Taylor Mack to come up and do his
Dolly and Horace Van de Gelder.
There you go. Covering all the bases. Okay, so the thing that's really distinctive too about your website, ankrumoperahouse.org, is it?
.org.
Okay. Every theater has a mission, but what I also found distinctive about the theater and about your website is that you list the values associated with the mission. And one of the values is intimacy, which you talked about. But the other one is playfulness. Now, I've seen the production, so I know what's playful about your productions, even when the subject is something as final as death. But I've never seen a theater organization that's listed playfulness as one of the things it seeks to achieve. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, it's theater is, I mean, we do this to hopefully, you know, find a way to connect with each other and sort of maybe hopefully enlighten. And I mean, there's a part of me as an actor, as a trained actor and a theater artist, you know, there's, yes, we're very earnest and we're very serious, but it is also about play, even in the most, you know, dramatic and intense moments on stage. There is a play in that, because ultimately what we're doing is telling a story, and storytelling at the very root is a form of play. And so we should be able to sort of explore in that way and sort of have permission to, you know, at times be silly and at other times, you know, not so much. But I think there is a playfulness in storytelling. And I think that's sort of part of what's at the root of our wanting to be playful with the audience.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about, when you talk about the playfulness, two things come to mind. One is some of the nice touches you had at Olana with the walk-around immersive thing and with that big frame right there. That was kind of playful. And the other thing was the kind of, I don't know, the kind of big-kiddedness of the disc jockey in the Holler sessions. Does that conform to the kind of playfulness you're talking about?
I think it does. I mean, I think also, and I think that play can be a serious play too. So even We're Gonna Die had an element of, I mean, you hear where
this
you
are. This was the one woman show who's a singer, and she's talking about the deaths in her.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, that was backed by this sort of indie pop band. And that was, you know, both, it was indeed storytelling and sort of went head deep into into like a sort of very serious terrain, but ending with a number where we're all singing We're Gonna Die. I mean, that to me is play, and celebrating something that we often don't think about celebrating or don't want it. We've run away from celebrating.
Right.
This is Paul again. You know, the other thing about play is that when you're staging a play, when you're rehearsing a play, in that process, it doesn't always happen, but we try and have that happen at the Ankrum Opera House, is that we are playing as a way to figure out how to do something. So for example, like you were talking about the, you know, performing Olana, the devised immersive theater piece we did at Olana. You know, there was a lot of play between Jeff, the director, Derek Claude, the playwright, me as a dramaturg, and the actors figuring out how the hell are we going to do this? And we literally played to sort of solve staging problems, script problems, the fact that we were traveling nearly a mile.
Just to make this plain for people who didn't see it, it was a remarkable piece of theater. There were an audience of about, I think, 30 people, and we walked a mile through the woods with six actors telling this tale that might have happened 150 years ago. And you had a gramophone, of all things, sitting there in the woods coming out with this wonderful period music. It was really kind of magical.
It was playful.
Yeah. So whose idea was that huge, because Frederick Church was an artist, right? We all know his canvases if we've been to the museums. Whose idea was it to put that huge frame?
Well, actually, this is Jeff. We all want to claim credit to it. It was really beautiful, and I just thought it spoke so eloquently to the piece and supported the work completely.
For people who weren't there, there was this huge frame, and you're telling the story about essentially time travel between these two women who have a little boy who gets swept up into the lives 150 years before of the Churches, husband and wife, and the son that they lost. But at one point, you have the kid stepping through this huge frame, so we all know this is like Alice in Wonderland time.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. It was really kind of cool.
So the idea for the frame actually came about because we were playing. We had literally brought a group of actors together to sort of explore some ideas, and we did this at the Ankrum Opera House. And through that work, this idea of a large frame just emerged, right. And it really was. It's the whole notion of collaboration, and that the idea that we're all after sort of comes through that collaborative act, really, that's, I mean, it's very true about that.
Right. Yeah. Let me get back to the values about the opera house that you outline in the website, ancramoperahouse.org, and talking about immediacy again. But you link in your website this notion of immediacy to the excellent acoustics of the theater. And you say, we are especially interested in the capacity of listening to engage on multiple levels. So that begets two questions. One, describe what is uniquely acoustical about this small space at the Opera House. And two, how do you storytell without getting people to listen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the building. I mean, so the room, we have been told, is the room is full. It's all wainscoting, ceiling, walls. And the wainscoting apparently is made out of hickory, which is apparently a great acoustical tile. So the room resonates with sound really well. So literally, it's a great room to listen in. And then because of the room is intimate, it is rather small. The size and scope and scale of what we can produce in the Opera House has to sort of kind of, it has to live and be in synchronicity with that space. And so we try and have the highest production values possible with, you know, fully realized, you know, scenic lighting, sound, all of it. But at the end of the day, it's because the space is intimate, the primary sort of element is listening. It's the script. That's the thing where we are relying on the most, kind of honoring the playwright. That's sort of at the heart, because it's important to Jeff and I and to the Opera House, but also because that's what the room is kind of forcing us to do.
Now you've got me. You've almost going to get me started on something when you say honoring the playwright, because we see a lot of examples these days, in my humble opinion, of directors who don't honor the playwright. They want to superimpose, I think, their directorial vision over what the playwright wrote. And in your mission, you value relevance. So, when do you do something unique, honoring a playwright's work? And stay relevant without getting stupid or without getting didactic or without getting hit him over the head with politics kind of thematic.
Yeah. Do you want to take this one, Jeff?
I guess the question, I'm sort of trying to sort out the question there.
How do you stay relevant without getting didactic? Yeah. How do you make points that are timely, that suit the audience, without getting political, without getting lecturing, without telling people what they should think?
I'm kind of thinking on my feet here, but I think the answer is, you know, the Ancrum Opera House doesn't necessarily have an agenda or an artistic mission to sort of to directly respond to what's happening politically in the world that we live in. However, we believe at the Opera House that theater, you know, the arts, have the ability to lift us up, to console, to make statements. And so it was interesting. We had a meeting with Indira Pensado yesterday, and we were talking about Aunt Leaf, and there was a possibility that we might get a festival booking down here for the show. And Indira brought something up that I had never thought of. And she said how in the play Aunt Leaf, the central character, Annabelle, she gets lost. She's lost. And then Indira said, you know, here in Mexico, literally young girls are being kidnapped and are lost all the time. Mm-hmm. And that this play will resonate with Mexican audiences in a really unique way. And I had not thought of that before. Right. But, you know, I think that our choice in producing Aunt Leaf at the Opera House, you know, is, you know, we were drawn to the intimacy and the storytelling. And this is a play that Jeff developed with playwright Barbara Wishman years ago. But I think to answer your question, you know, how do we not become didactic? I think it's because we stay true to our mission, yep. you know, and our artistic vision. And if we are true to that, then, you know, hopefully good things will happen.
Good storytelling erupts. Yeah.
Sometimes things get didactic and annoying, or if when a director superimposes a really misguided a concept into a production of Romeo and Juliet, well, then that's just ego.
Right.
That's
one,
just ego.
I've got time, Marshall tells me, for one very quick question. And so I'm not going to ask you to reveal your 2018 season, but what kinds of stuff should we be looking forward to, briefly?
Oh, gosh. Jeff.
Well, I mean, I think we don't know. We're still figuring it all out. But I mean, I think it's along the same lines of, in terms of the mix of kinds of programming that we're doing. Sort of, you know, we are thinking about another sort of alternative cabaret kind of evening or two. I sort of alluded to, and you sort of picked up on the idea that maybe there might be sort of a larger piece that might involve some music that might be in the pipeline. A solo theater performance is kind of likely. I mean,
sounds good.
Yeah.
All right, guys, that's enough. We could go on and on for this.
Yeah.
Thanks for getting on Skype with us. Enjoy the rest of your Mexican holiday. And for everybody in the Hudson Valley, check it out. AncrumOperaHouse.org is the website for the summer season. They're going to have some really interesting stuff. I can attest to that myself. Jeff, Paul, thank you. And thanks, everybody,
thank you,
for listening.
Thank you.
I'm Dan Dwyer, the program Off Script. My guests have been Jeff Musso and Paul Ricciardi, directors of the Ancrum Opera House. Until the next time you listen in, as a dear departed friend of mine used to tell me all the time, be well.
Underwriting support for Off Script with Dan Dwyer from Johnny Cake Books in Salisbury, Connecticut, whose collection of rare, collectible, and out-of-print books is housed in a 19th-century cottage in one of the most old-fashioned small towns in New England. Off Script with Dan Dwyer is also available via podcast on our on-demand page, robinhoodradio.com. Click on Demand, and then click on Off Script with Dan Dwyer.